It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, horror. Later on, we hear Lights Out from 1943, but right now it's the Scott Bishop story, The Sea Phantom, on Dark Fantasy. This first heard on NBC on February 6th, 1942.
Isaac?
There's someone in the captain's cabin, sir.
Who is it?
I don't rightly know, sir.
Well, didn't you see who it was?
Yes, Mr. Wilson, that I did, sir.
But the captain always locks his cabin. Don't you, Captain Strong?
I do, but I could have forgot.
Well, it wasn't locked just now, Captain.
You say you got a look at the man?
Aye, sir. And full in the face, Captain. You can rightly call it a face.
What's that? What do you mean, Isaac?
Yes, man. Speak up. What are you trying to tell us?
I mean, sir, the man ain't human. He's nothing but a skeleton.
What? Nonsense, Isaac.
Oh, no, sir, and that is not. I seen him, sir. Looked plumb into his face, I did. And there's nothing there but bones. White, bleach bones, sir.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
With empty eye sockets and a gaping mouth, and he was writing on your slate, sir.
Writing on my slate?
Aye, Captain. Writing with a piece of white chalk held between his fingers. Fingers with no flesh on them, sir.
Well, you've been dreaming, Isaac. Come on. Let's get down to my cabin and have a look. Come along, Mr. Wilson.
Right, Captain. Isaac, come on.
Aye, sir.
Why, it's impossible for anyone to be in my cabin. All hands are either on deck or down in the engine room.
That's what I say, Captain Strong. He ain't one of the crew. He ain't rightly nobody, sir. Unless you want to call a spirit somebody.
Isaac, stop that sort of talk.
No, but it ain't no sort of talk, sir. Begging your pardon, Mr. Wilson. I seen him with my own eyes. Sitting there. Dressed in some sort of get-up I ain't never laid eyes on before. He had his back to the door, and he was writing on your slate with a chalk, Captain. I spoke to him, but he didn't pay me no mind. Just kept right on with his writing. Then I got closer to him, and he still didn't look up. So I stooped down and peered into his face, I did. And then I seen he wasn't nothing but a skeleton, sir.
If you were a drinking man, Isaac, I'd have you flogged and put in irons.
I'm not so sure he hasn't been at the keg, Captain.
Begging your pardon, sir. You'll see for yourself soon enough. Here's the hatch.
You first, Captain.
Just as I thought. Nobody here.
Oh, cabin's empty.
But I locked this door, Captain, so whoever it was couldn't get out.
Well, you must have done that all right. I certainly unlocked it just now. You can see for yourself, Isaac, there's no one in here.
No, nobody. And no way out except through that door.
I say, Captain, have a look.
Yes, Mr. Wilson, what is it?
Your slate. There is writing on it.
Eh? What's that? Well, here, let me see.
Here.
There, Captain Strong. You see, sir? That's not your writing, is it?
No. No, it isn't my writing.
Then one of the men must have been in here and wrote that.
No, I don't think so. Because this writing is a style and a type that was used more than 200 years ago.
What? Well, let's see. I say, that is strange writing. It's English, all right. Such a peculiar spelling and phrasing.
Blimey, I can't read it at all.
Isaac.
Aye, Captain.
Now, seeing this, I can't help but believe that you saw somebody sitting here in my cabin writing on my slate. But I won't be convinced that it was a skeleton.
But I tell you, sir, I...
It was your imagination, Isaac.
Oh, no, sir, it wasn't no imagination.
I said it was your imagination. You understand?
Aye, sir.
Now, I don't want you to open your mouth about this to the crew. You hear me? There's some explanation. I'm not going to have you stirring up the crew with this. They're all superstitious enough without that.
Aye, sir.
Those are orders, Isaac. I'll have you in irons if you breathe a word of this to the men.
Aye, sir.
That's all, Isaac.
Aye, sir.
Well, Captain Strong?
What do you make of it, Wilson?
Most extraordinary. I'm positive Isaac did see someone in this cabin.
But surely not a fleshless creature.
I don't know. Isaac is a sober, steady sort of person.
But confounded man.
He hasn't much imagination.
Well, whoever heard of a skeleton aboard a ship, much less one that could write on a slate?
Stranger things than that have happened at sea. You know that.
Yeah, I do. But I can't convince myself that what Isaac saw was really some fleshless creature without a brain or heart or eyes.
Can you make out the writing on the slate?
Yeah, I think so. It says, "It is not correct, the information you have about the sea phantom. Change your course 6 degrees north, northeast, to location 26 degrees, 7 minutes longitude, 18 degrees, 9 minutes latitude. Jonathan Strange."
Jonathan Strange?
No, it can't be.
He was the famous captain of the Spanish galleon, the Sea Phantom. The one we're hoping to locate.
Yeah, and he was. Jonathan Strange. Dead for 224 years. Lost in a gale in 1718.
Yes. But not in the position this message on the slate directs us to.
No. No, indeed. The Sea Phantom was supposed to have foundered at 20 degrees longitude. The message says 26 degrees in 7 minutes.
Yes.
Could this be a trick?
A trick, Captain?
Someone else who's heard of the immense treasure that went down with the Sea Phantom. Someone who's trying to steer us off our course. Get to the treasure themselves.
I doubt that.
What do you say you doubt it, Mr. Wilson?
Well, sir, we've kept the entire expedition completely secret. Not even the crew know what we're up to.
We've tried to keep the entire expedition a secret. I'm positive I haven't mentioned to anyone.
Nor have I, Captain Strong. When I stumbled upon the information about the Sea Phantom, I knew there was an excellent opportunity to recover almost $1 million worth of gold. But naturally, I needed a boat. You were the first one I thought of.
Neither of us would have had a reason for disclosing our knowledge about the treasure.
That's just it. That's why I'm so inclined to believe Isaac was telling us the truth.
About the thing without flesh writing this message?
Precisely.
That's unbelievable.
Even so, Captain, you must admit that a man who's been dead more than 200 years certainly wouldn't be much more than a skeleton. Isn't that right?
You mean... Good heavens. You mean this message was actually written by Jonathan Strange himself?
I mean exactly that.
I wonder.
What about it, Captain? Do we change the course?
I don't know. What's your advice?
Normally, I'm not superstitious. But, well, what can we do? I've never believed in ghosts or spirits up to now. But that message on that slate certainly is convincing.
Then you're in favor of following the instructions. Well, Mr. Wilson?
Yes. Let's change the course and go to the spot the message mentions. If you're willing to take a chance, I certainly am. Who's there?
Me, sir. Isaac Newton, sir.
Well, come in and stop that noise. Now, what in thunder's gotten into you, waking me up in the middle of the night? What time is it, anyway?
8 bells, sir. Midnight.
Midnight? A big day ahead tomorrow. Oh, confounded man, what do you want?
Well, I'm standing watch alone tonight, sir. Maybe I should have told this to the captain, but I come to you first.
Well?
I've just sighted a boat to the port side, sir.
Well, have you identified her?
Oh, no, sir. You see, well, she ain't carrying no lights, sir.
No lights?
Oh, no, sir. And she's not like any ship I've ever seen, sir.
To the port side, you say?
Aye, sir. She's riding with full sail.
What?
Aye, sir. She looks to me like one of those old-time boats you see in pictures.
Hand me my boots there, Isaac. I'll come up on deck and have a look.
She blows, sir. You see? Not a sign of life aboard her, sir. And the moon's full tonight.
Look, man. Look.
What, Mr. Wilson?
That name on the bow.
I can't see that far, sir. My eyes are...
That name. The Sea Phantom.
Sea Phantom, sir?
Yes. No wonder she's carrying no lights. No wonder there's no one aboard.
What do you mean, sir?
Isaac, if you've never seen a ghost ship, take a look at that boat out there.
Ghost ship?
Yes. The Sea Phantom went down in these waters more than 200 years ago.
Blow me down, sir. Are you having a joke with me, Mr. Wilson?
No. No, this is no joke. That's a ghost ship, right enough. You watch. She'll be gone in a minute or two.
I'm begging your pardon, sir, but that boat's real.
Ghost ships always look real, Isaac.
But look you, sir. She's close enough to see. She's within throwing distance, I do believe. Here. This belaying pin here, Mr. Wilson. I'll try to throw it aboard the Sea Phantom.
Good. You watch. That pin will just go through thin air.
We'll see, sir. Well, here it goes. Ah. There, sir. You hear that? She is real.
But that boat's so old, she should have fallen apart years ago. And besides that, she's supposed to be at the bottom of the Atlantic.
She looks old enough, all right, sir. But I don't understand what you mean about her supposed to be...
Isaac.
Aye, sir.
Lower a boat.
A boat, sir?
Yes, confounded a boat. Lower one at once.
Are we going aboard the Sea Phantom, Mr. Wilson?
I am, yes. Now lower a boat to the port side and double quick about it. Stop rowing now, Isaac. He's up alongside.
Aye, sir.
Tie up to that rope hanging there.
Right, sir. There. All set, sir.
Right. Well, you stay here and watch, Isaac, while I go aboard. If I'm not back in a half hour, come aboard looking for me.
Aye, aye, sir. Half an hour, sir. If you're not back by then, sir, I'll come aboard after you.
Keep a sharp lookout, Isaac. Let me know if you see anybody aboard.
Aye, aye, sir.
Aboard. Can't even hear the wind. No sign of life. No sign of life having been here for score upon score of years. Rotting timbers.
Sea-soaked deck. Twisted, tangled ropes. Empty kegs with rusted hoops and warped staves. Strips of time-worn sails. And canvas swaying on the masts. Everything so quiet. Quiet as though in reverence for the dead. Here, the hatch. Captain's quarters must be down here. Yes. This must have been his hangout. Let's have a look. A light burning in here. What do you say? What's that? Oh. Bones. An entire human skeleton slumped here in the corner of the cabin. As though a man had propped himself up there and died.
Exactly, my friend.
Who's that? Did someone speak?
Certainly me.
But where are you?
Over here.
But I don't see you. There's no one in this room but myself.
Yourself and that gentleman slumped there in the corner.
Who are you?
My name is Jonathan Strange.
Jonathan Strange? Why, you're the skipper of the Sea Phantom.
That I am. Jonathan Strange, captain of the Sea Phantom, sailing with a cargo of gold for the Spanish ruler.
Why, your boat went down in a gale 200 years ago.
So history says, yes. But men do not know everything.
I don't understand.
The Sea Phantom was no victim of a storm at sea. Oh, no, my friend. She was the victim of a cruel and vicious man.
I still don't understand.
Look, you. You see the rusted iron ring there on the floor by your feet?
Yes.
Take hold of it and pull. The trap door to my cabin. That's it. It may be difficult. Use your strength on it. A little more force now. Ah, that's it. There. You see?
Gold. Bar upon bar of solid gold.
Yes, gold for the King of Spain.
And chests of coins and jewels.
One day for the Queen. But Jose would have them for his own. He intends to mutiny the crew and steal the treasures that have been entrusted to us.
Who's this Jose?
Jose Manel, a wicked and cold-hearted fiend. Even now, the crew is waiting for me to leave this cabin. They know they'll never enter here while life is in my body.
But surely there's some escape.
No, none. They think I will remain here to starve to death. They're fools. They do not know that they're about to perish, like the rats they are.
What do you mean?
Don't you smell the smoke? Listen. Can you hear the flames?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And they cannot escape in the boats, because I foresaw this mutiny and put the lifeboats out of commission.
But can't you escape?
No, of course not. For you to escape, you must make haste, my friend.
How?
The same way you entered here, of course. Hurry now, my friend, and take this with you.
What is it? What are you giving me?
You'll see. Hurry now. There's no time to waste. Soon the ship will be one mass of roaring flames, and none of us will be left alive.
Can't I take you with me? Can't you make yourself apparent so I can see you and take you along?
No, it doesn't matter. But let me warn you. With my life, I've protected the treasures of the King and Queen. Throughout all eternity, I'll guard those treasures. It will not be wise for any man to attempt to obtain them for his own.
Yes, Jonathan Strange. I believe I understand exactly what you mean. That's why you brought me here. To show me.
Exactly. I must hurry.
Mr. Wilson, sir. Are you in there, Mr. Wilson?
Isaac, is that you?
Isaac! Blowing down, Mr. Wilson. There's beastly bolts of fire. If we don't get over here in a jiffy, we'll be paying a visit to Davy Jones' locker before we know it, sir.
And So, Captain Strong, that's exactly what happened. And I repeat, it was no nightmare. Isaac here can vouch for that.
It's the very truth, Captain Strong. Word for word. So help me heaven.
And that was fair warning. And whoever attempts to get the treasures of the Sea Phantom is doomed.
Aye, sir. Just as those mutineers were doomed 200 years ago, sir.
It's odd. Very odd.
I'm amazed you or the others of the crew weren't awakened by the sound of the fire.
No. None of us heard a sound. The men don't even know about it now. I wouldn't have known it about it myself if you two hadn't told me your story. If I hadn't seen those bits of charred wood floating on the surface this morning.
It was a huge treasure, Captain. I saw it in its hiding place, beneath the skipper's cabin.
And you got none of it?
Not a single bit. Oh, wait. I almost forgot. Just before I left the boat, this thing was handed to me.
Handed to you? But I thought you said there was nothing in that cabin but a pile of bones.
Yes. Yes, that is right. But this seemed to come, well, almost out of nowhere. And it was placed very firmly in my hands.
He sure enough had it in his hands when I broke into the cabin, sir.
Let's have a look. Why, this was the ship's log.
The log?
Yes. The complete log of the Sea Phantom's voyage. From the date of sailing, right on up through the mutiny. Look. This writing. It's the same hand. The writing on my slate and the writing on this paper are the very same. Curve for curve, angle for angle.
Here, let me see. Oh, I say, Captain.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Look here. On this last page. It reads, "Now that it has become my solemn duty to protect the treasures which have been entrusted to me, I will send the Sea Phantom to her ocean grave together with the treasure. This is my course as I see it. God assist me. Jonathan Strange, May 29th, 1718.
Sea Phantom, tonight's tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop. Ben Morris was heard tonight as Mr. Wilson. Fred Wayne played Captain Strong. Muir Height was Isaac, and Garland Moss was Captain Jonathan Strange, skipper of the Sea Phantom. Dark fantasy originates each Friday night in the WKY studios, Oklahoma City. Tom Paxton speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Dark Fantasy on Tuned To Yesterday, a broadcast from February 6th, 1942 on NBC. You are listening to an hour of horror on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Now let's say you lived in New York City at the time of this next Lights Out broadcast from September 7th, 1943. If you were perusing the radio dial, you could have stayed with WEAF with singer Jenny Sims, the American Forum on Antitrust Enforcement, now and in the post-war on WOR, a news broadcast on WJZ with Earl Godwin, even on WMCA, New York Times news bulletins. But 12.8 million listeners tuned in to Lights Out and the story Lord Marley's Guest, written by Arch Obler.
Right. Out, everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Ovaler. House guests in the days before rationing, and if they didn't wear out their welcome, were an interesting part of our social lives. But tonight we bring you a story of a most unpleasant and unexpected guest who came to visit Lord Marley.
Waiting, waiting, waiting. Who does the man think we are, I'm asking?
It's like I says to you before we got in here. Try to do a man like his lordship a favor and you'll get it in the neck. That's what I said, and you remember.
Well, I'll give him 5 more minutes to do us the honor, and then it's off I am. I want to look at my nets before the tide changes, that I do. Oh, well, all I'm after is to warn him. Then me duty's done.
It's wasting time. He won't believe you. You mark my words.
Won't believe me, and me almost losing my boat to the thing?
His lordship will say it was the tar.
Now, you listen to me, Joey. I've been fishing in these waters here for more years than you got brains in your head. And I'm telling you it was a...
It's his lordship.
Oh, looks to be in a blinking temper now, don't he?
Well, what is it?
If it pleases your lordship, my name is Sam Marlowe.
Never mind, I know who you are. You're the fellow I caught poaching rabbits last
night. Now, wait a minute. You didn't catch me poaching nothing. It's an honest fisherman I am, I'll have you know.
Oh, honest, are you? Well, let me tell you, I never forget a face. And if yours isn't a face of the rogue that
I
saw...
Oh, the rogue, is it? You hear that, Joey? He calls me the rogue.
Fine one he is to be talking.
Why, you impudent scoundrels. Out of my house. Out of my house.
But, your lordship, we want to tell you...
You
that...
tell me nothing, you thieving rascals.
Oh, it's thieving now, is it? For 2 pence, lordship or no lordship, I'd bash that nose of yours so flat it'd look like a pawn.
Get out of here. Oh. Get out,
what
I say.
What is the matter?
These scoundrels.
We're not scoundrels, you old coot, you.
Yeah, we was only trying to warn him that he's...
Not another word. Out. Out, I say.
Come on, Sam. Let's get out of
here. Get out of here.
He calls himself a visa gentleman.
Get out, I say.
Victoria.
And if you dare trespass on my property again, I'll have the law on your thieving necks. The both of you.
There's no need to shout, Charles.
Why?
They're gone.
The infernal rascals.
But I don't understand. They spoke of coming here to warn you.
Warn me? Nonsense. Some infernal scheme that I didn't even give them a chance to reveal. Loafers. Spoiled by the government dole.
But I know those men. Why, they're from the village. Good, honest fishermen.
Honest, no good, not one of them. And if they keep up their infernal impudence, this community is going to lose my trade. You can depend on that. We'll never spend another season here. Not if I have anything to say about it. Confounded rascals warning me.
All right. We'll drop the entire matter right now. What I can't understand is where's that guest of yours?
Hmm?
You said he'd be here by 10 o'clock. Look, it's almost noon.
Yes, my guess. Yeah, true.
What is it, Charles?
Didn't I tell you?
Tell me what, dear?
My guest, it's not a man.
No?
Madeline Kay. You've heard of her?
Madeline Kay? No, I'm afraid not. Who is she?
It's a matter of business. I couldn't arrange to be in the office, you know, because of our little outing, so I asked Miss Kay to come here. Pay frightfully large fees, these Americans, you know.
American? Won't you please tell me who she is, Charles?
Why, surely you know her, the cinema star.
Oh. Oh, the big blonde wench we saw in that Bang Bang Gangster picture.
Oh, now, don't talk like that. I forbid it.
But the picture was definitely a Bang Bang Gangster picture, my dear Charles. Why, I remember distinctly. At least 7 of the gangmen, as the Americans say, bit the dust.
You have the most outrageous sense of humor. I'm speaking of the woman, my client.
Oh, you mean she isn't a blonde wench?
Oh, really, my dear. Your choice of words is sometimes most inappropriate. The woman is definitely an artist, and my client.
Oh, yes, of course. But was it necessary to have her come here?
Why not?
Well, this is our home.
But I told you it's most important that she consult me. Her financial affairs, you know.
No, I don't know.
But I'm trying to tell you. Oh, great Scott, Jane. You're not going to be difficult just because I invited a client out here. Confounded silly suspicions.
Now, just a moment, Charles. I have no suspicions.
Well, your attitude.
And I have no attitude. You've invited this woman here on business, and I assure you I'll do everything in my power to make her stay as pleasant as possible. Will she be here for dinner?
To tell you the truth, a...
Weekend?
Fortnight. You know how those Americans are, pushing...
Fortnight. Very well, Charles. I'll go and tell Jenkins that he should...
Charles, here I am.
Apparently your guest has already arrived, Charles. Mm-hmm. You'd better go out and welcome her.
Yes, of course. You coming along?
Of course.
Careful of that luggage, you idiot. If you scratch it, I'll have you repaired.
Did you say for a fortnight, Charles? She has enough luggage piled up in the tonneau of that roadster for a permanent invasion.
Will she,
Charles, how nice. You've come out to your doorstep to welcome me just like a feudal knight or something.
Well, by George, Madeline, it's good to see you.
Madeline?
You said something?
No.
Yes, Madeline. This is Lady Jane.
How do you do?
How do you do? Charles, tell me, what do you think of my new car? It's nice, isn't it? You see, I did take your advice.
You must be tired after your trip, Miss Kay. The roads aren't any too good.
Tired? I'm never tired, am I, Charles? You ought to know. Tried to walk my feet off around the deck, but I wore you down, didn't I?
Oh, you met on shipboard during Charles's trip to America?
Madeline, you must be tired. A rest before tea, perhaps?
Rest with all that beautiful ocean right there at the end of the lawn? I should say not.
Swim?
Just what I need. Charles, why don't you get out one of your little boats and take me out there in the middle of that blue water so I can take a dip?
Well, that is to say...
Of course you'll do as Miss Kay asks, Charles. Get out the skiff while I show her to her room. I'm sure she'll want to change before bathing.
Oh, yes. I always use a bathing suit while the sun's shining. Run along, Charles, and get the boat out. You and I have all sorts of talking to do, haven't we, darling?
Yes, of course, of course.
This way, Miss Kay. Jenkins has already taken your things up. You'll just follow me.
Sure, why not? Last place I saw stairs like these was on a set in Hollywood. I've always wanted a place like this.
It's very pleasant here during the summer months. Breeze coming from over the bay all the time. It's really quite nice.
Plenty nice.
Right in here, Miss Kay.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
This is the afternoon off for the maids. I'm sorry there's none here to help you. But by the time you get back from your swim, I'm sure one of them will be back.
Oh, it's all right. I've got a bathing suit right in this case here. I think I can get in myself if I hold my breath.
I did want to talk to you.
Talk? Go right ahead.
No. You want to dress?
Oh, stick around. We're all girls together. What's on your mind?
You are very pretty.
You're not as old as I thought you'd be.
You met my husband for the first time on the boat coming back to England.
Blasted blankety catches of all the rotten luggage. There, that does it. Now, where's that doggone suit?
You did meet Charles for the first time on the boat, didn't you?
Yes, of course. Oh, am I putting it on in the wrong places?
Will your business keep you in England very long?
Long? I should hope.
Why have you come here, Miss Kay?
Charles invited me. Didn't you know?
Why have you come here?
What you mean is, madam, are your intentions strictly honorable? I played a part like that once in stock, and was I lost? Terrible.
Why don't you answer me directly?
Okay, why not? What have I got to lose? Even if you pass along what I say to Charles, he won't believe you. He's a gentleman. Or, is he?
Tell me.
What is there to tell, you guessed it? Like a man, Charles thought you wouldn't, but I knew you would.
It's been going on ever since he met you.
You catch on fast, don't you?
You are cold.
Sister, when you've been around the way I have, you get to know all the answers. And you make up a couple of new ones, too.
But Charles, over 20 years older than you.
And with $20 million more than me.
But you're wealthy.
Press agent stuff. I'm on the skids as far as Hollywood's concerned.
I beg your pardon.
Skids, you know, a one-way street leading down.
Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't talk like this to my own sister, but as long as you and me got our hair down, what's the difference? The truth is, I'm just about washed up in pictures. Not that I can't act circles around many of those little they got out there, but it's just that, well, I was way up there, now I'm on my way down. And that's that. So
you met Charles on shipboard and fell in love with him?
Love?
You laugh?
Well, I'm sure not crying. But I am going to marry him.
You what?
I said I'm going to marry him.
My husband?
He won't be for long.
You either have a poor idea of humor or you're absolutely insane.
No, I suppose you'll pull the line about my husband loves me. He'll never leave me.
He won't leave me.
No.
I know, Charles. There have been others.
But he never invited any of those others to his home now, did he? But he did invite me. And I'll stay here as long as I please. And in the end, I won't be the one to go.
Why do you say such horrible things?
Not so sure of yourself anymore, are you, Lady Jane? They never were as pretty as I am before, were they? And they never knew their way around the way I do now, did they?
You'll go. I won't permit you to stay.
Oh, really?
Charles wouldn't dare.
Oh, already. Come on in.
Well, what a charming, charming picture you make.
Yes, I think so, too.
Charles, could I speak to you alone?
No, not now, Jane. I want to take Madeline for a sail before the wind changes. Come, Madeline.
Right with you, dear. See you later, Jane.
Better take my arm, Madeline. These old steps, quite steep, you know. After all, I wouldn't want anything to happen to so charming a gift.
Oh, Charles.
There he goes, Sam.
I see him.
But we ought to warn him.
I tried. You saw what I got. Fair booted me out of the place.
Yeah, he's got his lady with him in the boat.
His lady? Where's your eyes? That ain't her ladyship. Her ladyship's a lady. She wouldn't be wearing a suit like that. Yellow and not enough of it to... Oh, let him sail out there. Why should I warn the likes of them? No, thank you. I'll not waste a breath warning him or her. Not a breath.
Madeline.
Now, Charles, steer the boat.
I'd give anything.
Anything?
Name it.
Not now. Ooh.
What's the matter?
That wind, where did it come from?
By George. The sun has gone down, hasn't it?
No clouds, yet no sun. What kind of a place is this, anyway?
Yes, it is strange.
And I thought I'd go swimming. Oh, come on, turn back. This is about as much fun as walking in a graveyard.
By Jove, I'm sorry.
Sorry?
We're becalmed, and I forgot the oars at the landing.
Oh, nice going. So what do we do now? Camp out here in the middle of the ocean until the Boy Scouts come after us?
You have a delightful sense of humor.
I'm getting a chill that isn't so delightful.
Yeah, I'm deucedly sorry. Here. Put my coat around you. Lovely.
The wind hasn't cooled you off any, has it? What was that?
What?
Did you hear it? Like a fish. You don't have whales in these parts, do you?
Whales? By Jove.
There it is again.
Yes, I heard it.
The water is so smooth.
Oh, just a fish jumping, probably. Oh, this is cozy. Becalmed at a very opportune time, if I might say so.
Yeah, I can't very well walk home, can I?
Anything for you.
You'll have your chance.
Anything.
Oh.
Now, what is it?
I thought I saw that rope up there at the bow, or whatever you call it, move.
Rope?
Yes, squirm sort of. Imagine that. I haven't had a drink in a week.
But there's no ropes at the bow?
Oh, yes, there is too.
Huh?
Charles.
It's no rope.
Then what is it?
I can't quite make out.
It is a rope. It is a rope. I tell you, it is.
I'm not quite sure.
Another one. Charles, look, another one. Came out of the water.
Oh.
Moving. Moving down along the deck. Charles, how can there be snakes out here?
Not snakes.
What's the matter with you? What are they? Look, there's two of them. Slimy.
There's another. Thick as a man's chest.
And another one.
Coming out of the water. Oh, no. It can't be. It can't.
What is it, Charles? What is it?
Hear it, Sam? Hear it?
Aye, I hear it. There's trouble out there.
But what, I'm asking?
Oh, I can't see. They're too far off. Too far off.
Oh, listen to her. Sam, it can't be...
What else in the devil's name can it be? The Lord forgive me. I should have warned him. Dirty pride or not, I should have warned him. I should have warned...
Fisherman!
Sam, it's her ladyship running this way.
The Lord help her. What can
fisherman.
She do for him?
Fisherman, help me. Please, help
me. Lord
help
you, Mom. What can we do?
It's falling to us. What is Sam and men? Get into your boat. We've got to get out there and help him. Listen to him. Oh, help me in Mercy's name. Help me.
All right. Come ahead, Mom.
God bless
Sam.
You.
Sam, have you lost your head? You're not going out there.
Step in forward, Mum. Watch your step.
Sam, you're balmy. It's the death out there.
Hand me that oar, Joe, and shove her off.
Sam, you can't be going out there. You was the one that warned us off. And now you're going out yourself. Sure, I'll shove you off. But I'm coming with you.
Good man, Joe.
Hurry.
That we will. Dig your oars in deep, Joe.
Deep it is. The devil himself may be waiting out there, but here we go to meet him. Faster, Sam. Roll faster.
Back of me, Madeline. Stay back of me.
Horrible things reaching out. You've got to tell me what they are. What? Tell me.
Behind us. Look.
No, those snake things crawling toward me. I've got to keep my eyes on them. If I watch them, they can't hurt me. Yes, that's it.
Madeline,
if I watch them, they can't
Madeline,
hurt me.
Watch out.
Can they hurt
watch
me?
Out.
Can they?
What?
Answer me, you. Can they hurt me? What are you staring like that for?
Now I know. I know what it is.
It?
Eight arms coming out of the water. The body must be beneath.
What are you talking about? What body?
Its body. There. Feel shaking the boat. It's holding on with those horrible arms.
Arms? What are you raving about? Snakes?
No.
Slimy water snakes?
No, not snakes. I'd give my soul if there were. They're arms. It's arms.
Stop saying that.
It's arms. And it's waiting. Oh. Waiting underneath the sea for us. Oh. Waiting for us. Help. Help somebody.
Charles.
Help.
Charles, what is it?
Help.
What? Tell me.
Devilfish.
No.
An octopus larger than the boat. Suckers on its tentacles.
Oh, my leg. One of those crawling things on my leg. Get it off. Get it off my leg.
I can't budge it. I can't budge it.
Oh, get it off.
Devil thing, you. Let go of her. Let go. Get off. Oh, my neck. No.
I beg you, sir.
Sam, look. The boat is turned over.
Oh.
They're fighting something in the water.
No, we can't let them drown. Row.
No, we can't. It's a devilfish.
I see it, too. Oh. Its arms, they're longer than the mast of the boat itself.
Oh.
The tide's taking us right into it. Get at your oars, Joe. We'll get out of there.
Yeah, we'll... Let go of my oars, Mama.
No, I won't let you turn back.
Let go of the oars, woman.
I won't let you turn
It'll
back.
Kill us, too.
It is killing them. The octopus is killing them.
Not killing them, playing with them like a cat with a mouse.
Oh, no.
Lifting them up in those great slimy arms and then dropping them back in the sea again.
Charles.
Drowned them.
Charles.
I held him under and drowned him.
No. Brought him up again, see?
Aye, but what... Sam... Oh, no.
What is it? What is that terrible thing that's lifting out of the water?
It's Ed, see? It's bringing the body toward its Ed. It's going to... No, don't look, Mom. No, he's dead anyways, Mom. Joe, let's get out of here. Come on, for it.
Wait, the woman. Let's let her go, the woman.
Aye,
she's swimming for it. This way.
No, let's get out of here. Get at the oars, man.
No, wait, save her. Too late for him, but we can't leave her.
Right, we'll get you, miss.
She's too tired to swim anymore.
Stay afloat, miss.
Oh, hurry.
Come on, Sam. Put your back to that oar. We'll get you, miss. Bring her around, Sam. Grab her quick.
That I will. Got you now. Up you go. Over. Up and in. That's it, Mom. That's it. In you go now.
You're safe now. You're safe.
Look. He's gone.
Eh?
The monster, the devilfish, gone. Under the water. Quick, put the girl down there in the bow and let's get out of here before he pulls us down.
Right.
It's all right. You're safe enough. You're safe, I tell you. Safe. Safe, yes, safe. Safe. Safe.
Stop
He's
it.
He's dead.
Stop it.
Safe. Oh,
no, dead. Stop saying it.
Oh.
What is it? Why do you stop? We've got to get ashore. The woman hysterical.
Sam, something is holding the boat back.
No, it can't be. We're almost at the beach and...
Look, look over the port side.
What?
The octopus. Row.
It's underneath the water, holding us back.
Tentacle. Horrible black thing.
Come on, into the stern with us.
Oh, but she...
Another off. I'll push it down. Beat it off with your oar, man. Oh!
Stay back, you fool!
Twisted the oar right out of my hand. Look, another arm. And they're all moving up towards her.
She doesn't see it.
She thinks she's safe.
Around her neck, it's wrapping around...
Oh.
Dragged her over.
The boat's free.
Aye?
Free, I tell you, free. It's let go of us. We'll get away.
But why should that be? Dragged her over and let us go?
Aye. That's so. Picked her right out of the boat. And now the water's so calm and clear. And look, the sun's come out.
Huh? Aye. And his lordship and the blonde one dead? Dead under the sea. What say you, Mom?
Dead under the sea. Better so.
Well, Mr. Obler, all I've got to say is...
That brr is certainly an expressive one, Frank, but... Before we talk of birds, I do want to thank June Dupre and Joseph Granby and Mary Jane Croft. And now, speaking of birds, I think it reminds all of us that there's a strange, icy hand of retribution which apparently eventually seems to catch up with evildoers. Right at the moment, a man by the name of... what was it again? Oh, yes, Mussolini is remembering that. And now, Frank, after you've had a few words, I want to come back and tell our audience about a play which we're going to do next week. May I go on record right now as saying that I'm looking forward to next week's Lights Out with more eagerness than I have to any play of this series. I'll tell all of you about that as soon as Frank Martin says a few words for Iron Eyes Yeast.
If you're so jittery and run down, often so tired out that you miss out on your work and fun, and if it's simply because you're short on vitamin B1 and iron, remember Iron Eyes Yeast tablets give you these exact two substances. Now, of course, a rundown condition may be due to other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, remember, ironized yeast has been so successful in such cases that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't start to eat better, to feel much stronger and more alive, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. And now, what's this about your eagerness over next week's play, Mr. Obler?
Well, a man can write a play with his tongue in his cheek or with his heart or with his mind. I'll say quite frankly, I wrote next week's play with heart. heart and mind, because it's a play that I wanted to do and I know you'll want to hear. It's not the usual lights-out play by any means. It's intended for even those in your family who may not be particularly interested in the mysterious and fantastic. So, have the entire family listening in, yes, children too, next week when we broadcast A Story of the Future. Your future.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's Story of the Future. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet. Helpful, very short story. First, girl gets little grease spot on dress. Girl cries. Then girl remembers Energene cleaning fluid. Girl uses Energene. End of grease spot, end of story. Yes, friends, it's easy to do little cleaning jobs right at home to save time, money, and your clothes with Energene cleaning fluid. So keep things clean with Energene. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Lights Out on Tuned to Yesterday from September 7th, 1943 on CBS. And so closes this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.